Welcome to the Sunshine Economy, Obamacare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. A year and a half ago, Odalis Arevalo was working for someone else as an insurance broker. She'd spent her early career years in the financial services industry, first in real estate, then in banking. After spending more than a decade as a stay-at-home mom, she'd gotten back into the job market selling insurance. Now, by the spring of 2013, the Affordable Care Act was all but inevitable. The law had withstood a U.S. Supreme Court challenge, and President Obama had been reelected. So the clock was now ticking on implementation of this massive overhaul of health insurance in America. Arevalo began meeting with a colleague, Mercy Cabrera, at a coffee shop. Their idea? Bring Obamacare to working-class Hispanics in South Florida. Now fast forward a year and a half later. The company they formed, Sunshine Life and Health Advisors, has about 600 agents selling all types of insurance, but primarily health insurance through Obamacare.
So a consumer walks into the front right there. They sign in. They either have an appointment already with an agent or they're here for the first time.
Arevalo is sitting behind her desk about halfway into a 24,000-square-foot space at the Mall of the Americas. And from here, she can see three long rows of tables stretching dozens of feet to both her left and right. Folding chairs are lined up with sheets of paper taped to the back of them. On each sheet is a different number, 28 here, 47's over there, 87, 88. Those two are right in front of her. These are the chairs her customers sit down in and go through the process of shopping for healthcare insurance at healthcare.gov, or more likely it's the Spanish language version, cuidadodesalud.gov. Now, the chairs are mostly empty on the Wednesday morning that we visit, but she anticipates her business will pick up as the deadline to enroll in a health plan under the Affordable Care Act approaches. The last day is February 15th. Last year's open enrollment period was chaos compared to this. The English language website didn't work, the Spanish language version was launched 2 months late, and there was no shortage of confusion and politics over the dozens of health plans available. Arevalo's Sunshine Life and Health Advisors signed up 60,000 people for health plans, mostly in Hispanic-heavy areas of Miami-Dade County. She didn't share with us her revenue, but indicated it was at least seven digits, over $1 million. She now has eight locations in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. There are about 600 full and part-time independent trained brokers, and she expects to sign up about 90,000 people before this year's open enrollment period ends. That's not as much, though, as she anticipated just a few weeks ago. She figures her success and more people growing comfortable with Obamacare has brought in competitors. It's a lot different than 18 months ago when her company was transitioning from an idea in a coffee shop to a business in a mall.
So this group formed. We said, you know, let's start going to churches. Let's start going out to the community. Let's start going out to schools. Let's start, you know, impacting people, informing them, teaching them. Obviously, we had to stay up at night and learn ourselves because we had no clue what we were doing.
Yeah, what were those first nights like as you had to wade through 1,200 pages of regulations?
That was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. There was no one to help you, no one to help you whatsoever. I mean, the carriers turned to us to get information from us because we were so well educated on it. And, you know, that's how the whole thing started. It was just a vision to go out and help the community. It was really never about, you know, becoming the largest agency. It was just about helping people. It was really about helping people. We knew our Hispanic people were not going to be able to do this on their own.
How were you able to go from that coffee table to now 24,000 square feet?
So as we progressed and started learning about the law and started, you know, realizing that we had to go out and touch people, you know, teach people, you cannot expect to make money from anyone unless you educate them. So it was really about educating them. And it didn't matter how many times we had to touch them, how many times we had to talk to them. The whole idea was getting them informed on the law. That was our mission. We were on a crusade. So we went out to churches, almost all of them in Dade County, all the Hispanic churches.
And what did you encounter when you walked into those churches? Because a lot of that time, there was a lot of politics around it. Still are.
Yes.
So how were you greeted?
Not nicely. It was really like, you know, we don't want you here. It was, you know, why are you here? And the law, you know, and Obamacare is bad. And, you know, we hate Obamacare. It was very negative. We broke through it. You know, we kept at it. We didn't give up. You know, we just kept, you know, letting them know, listen, this is not about politics. This is about your health. This is about having a health plan. This is about getting protection for yourself and your family. This is about being able to go to a doctor, being able to go to a hospital. You know, this is what it's all about. Forget the politics. And little by little, I mean, it took us a very long time for people to really start opening up. I remember one particular church we were at that the pastor had given us resistance himself. And we had been there twice already, and nobody had showed up. But we said, I mean, well, the first one, nobody showed up. The second one, like four people showed up. And we said, let us do a third one. And he said, but why do you guys want to keep coming back? I go, because your people need this. Your people need this. Don't you understand? Your people need this. And I saw a change in his eyes and a change in his face that he got it at that moment when I said, your people need this. So, you know, it took time. It was not easy at all.
That first year, that first open enrollment, with so much uncertainty about the technical website as well as the uncertainty about the pricing in the plans or what was going to be included in the plans and what was going to be an in-network or out-of-network, what kind of business did you do for that first open enrollment, and how does that compare to this open enrollment period that's about to end?
Well, after all was said and done with the resistance and after the website was finally open and after we were finally able to start writing business, we had a huge success. We were able to impact 60,000 members. We wrote 60,000 policies, over $100 million in premium for the insurance company. So we did have a very huge success, unexpected. It was really something that, you know, started as a small little, you know, idea with a big heart. We really did want to help people. That was really our intention. And back last year, we ended up having about 120 agents that finished with us. This year, we have close to 600, 600-700 agents.
Compare the last open enrollment season, which was the first open enrollment season, to this season.
It has not been as anticipated because there are a lot of other places open right now. So we have not had the wave that we expected. We believe it's coming, though, because people do leave everything for the last moment. But we have not been as busy as we expected.
Compare what folks are looking for from their insurance, both the pricing and the plans. Now that perhaps some of these folks have experience in the insurance market, what are they finding this time around compared to a year ago?
Pretty much they want to know what it's going to cost me. How much am I going to have to pay to, you know, what the premium is, how much I'm going to pay to go see the doctor, the specialist, my lab work, and what happens if I end up in the hospital. That's pretty much what they want.
What are the customers finding in terms of the plans and the prices this year compared to last year? Mm-hmm. As you look through, you've got a comparison that a lot of folks don't because you're looking at the entire universe, especially here in Dade County. What are the uninsured or the individual insurance customers finding this year compared to last year?
Well, definitely there's an increase in price. Last year, a person that made $12,000 a year would get free insurance. They did have a zero premium option. This year, that does not exist in Dade County. Palm Beach County does have a zero premium option, but not Dade nor Broward. So, you know, the person that had a zero premium plan last year, we're talking about silver plans. There are zero premium bronze plans available, which have a $6,500 deductible, which really does not help the person. If the person cannot pay the $20, then you would put them in a bronze plan. When the person goes to the doctor, they're going to have a big surprise.
South Florida has been among the areas that's seen the highest number of signups, and Dade County has seen among the highest number of signups in South Florida. And the Hialeah and West Dade area has been among those in Dade County that have seen the highest number of signups. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think really the idea, you know, that we had last year, that we pioneered, really gave a lot of interest to a lot of other brokers, you know, a lot of other organizations.
So you think more people are doing what you're doing, so
absolutely,
that gets it out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, there is a high amount of agencies doing what we're doing now, and really it is a community that needs this. And once they get it, they jump on stuff. You know, that's just, you have to make the community understand that it's something that they need and want. And also, the penalty is higher this year, you know. So definitely people are more aware. It's all about awareness. People are more aware. People know this is happening.
It's pretty quiet here today. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate it to pick up as the deadline approaches?
Yes, definitely. We do expect the tsunami or the wave, because really our Hispanic community really does leave everything for the last moment. We're seeing about 150, 200 people a day here now, which is completely different to what we were seeing last year. We were seeing thousands of people a day last year. But we do expect it to pick up.
Is this a good business to be in?
Definitely. Definitely so. The insurance carriers have dropped their commissions considerably from last year.
That's the money that you get paid.
Right. We definitely did make too much money, in the insurance carriers' eyes. So, they have considerably dropped the commissions for the agents and for the agency.
How's that affected your business planning?
It has affected, our projections have definitely gone, down, way down. But it is still a very good business, and we are a full service agency, so we do Medicare and life insurance and a whole bunch of other, financial planning and a whole bunch of other stuff.
When you look at your revenue mix between the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, financial planning, where does the Affordable Care Act fit into that revenue mix? How big of an impact does it make for a company like yours?
Number one. Plus.
By far.
By far. It will, kind of play out and equal out, as the years go by. But definitely the first year that we experienced was just incredible.
Odalis Arevalo, co-founder of Sunshine Life and Health Advisors, signing up thousands of South Floridians for Obamacare. Now, still to come on our program, hearing from a few of those thousands, some signing up for Affordable Care Act for the first time.
¿Cuál fue, cómo tú comparas el del año pasado y así?
Imagínate que yo pagaba por ti $1,400 en el mes.
Oh, yeah. She says she was paying for the last insurance that we used to have, like $1,400 a month.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Obamacare in South Florida is what we're talking about today. Have you gotten health insurance through the federal government's website? Are you a bronze, silver, gold, platinum plan patient? Tweet us at WLRN. Let us know your experience. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Florida is the single biggest state for Obamacare enrollments. Through late January, more than 1.3 million people have signed up for coverage in Florida. That's more than in Texas, the most populous state using the national marketplace. And within Florida, it's South Florida that's responsible for a big chunk of the signups. For some, it's their first experience with health insurance.
Tiene dos formas de pago. Puedes pagarlo ahorita para que la tarjeta te llegue en 10 días.
A husband and wife are listening to a healthcare insurance broker signing them up. They've been in the U.S. for the past 4 years. They came from Cuba.
Se hace efectivo con tarjeta. Efectivo?
Sí, sí, claro.
Yeah, cash. Cash.
They're ready to buy. The husband initially wants to pay with cash. He's told to use a credit card instead, and he agrees. They have family, a 9-year-old daughter. She was in school the morning that we met with them. This is the first time they're getting health care insurance, the first time getting insured in the United States.
Bueno, satisface mis necesidades porque en este momento.
Husband says it should satisfy what I need because of an illness. Should come, I'll have some good options now. The sales attendant says it won't cost you so much. He replies that should suit our economic situation. He's a plumber. His wife is a stay-at-home mom. They're among the target groups of the Affordable Care Act, non-elderly, predominantly Spanish-speaking Latinos. That group had been among the highest rate of uninsured. According to a report last fall from the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation focused on health care, almost half of that group did not have insurance before Obamacare. In the first year of the law and its individual mandate, the uninsurance rate among those non-elderly Spanish-speaking Latinos fell to 30%. However, that same study did find the high uninsurance rate among Latinos did not fall in states that did not expand Medicaid, and that includes Florida. Still, some feel compelled to sign up.
Bueno, porque prácticamente es obligatorio.
The husband says it's obligatory. He says he wouldn't have taken it out for himself because he's young. He says he's 34 and feels great. He admits, someday I'll be 50.
No, pero bueno, no es algo.
Yo no había pensado.
Nadie piensa.
His wife then says it's an opportunity we should take advantage of.
Bueno, la razón es que no tengo actualmente ningún seguro que me represente.
We also met Jose, who was signing up for the first time.
Lo que quiero es
he told us he was there because he'd never had health insurance while he's been in the United States. He says it'll help him feel more secure. This is the first opportunity that he's had to have health insurance. He arrived in the United States from Cuba less than a year ago. So this is his first open enrollment period under Obamacare. He works as a chef's assistant, and this could be his first real experience with the American healthcare industry. He says he hasn't needed medical attention yet, only the tests that the government gave him when he came into the United States. His lack of experience with the modern healthcare insurance system in America is not unique to his immigrant situation. Many of those getting coverage have been previously uninsured outside the system. When we ask Jose how much he expects to spend, he asks us, what do you mean by budget? He says he is looking at the most inexpensive policy because of his current economic situation. He admits he's looking for the lowest price possible because he says he doesn't make a great salary. But he doesn't yet know what his monthly budget will be for health insurance through Obamacare. He was just beginning the process of shopping for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act and the metal plans, those bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plans, all based upon different features and different premium prices. 22-year-old Alberto Dominguez may be considered an Obamacare veteran. He signed up last year and was doing the same when we met him.
To be honest, I don't go to the hospital that much. last year was I didn't have any problem at all. And then this year I hope to be the same thing this year. But hopefully it's going to be the same as last year.
Were you happy with the prices you're finding this year compared to last year?
Yeah, actually, yes, for sure.
Is it more or less or about the same?
Actually the same. Yeah, I earned the same money from last year, so I'm paying the same money this year. But yeah, the prices is not that much, to be honest with you.
Now, income levels are important because those can help decide if someone qualifies for a subsidized premium or not. Most people signing up for Obamacare plans do qualify for some help. 87% nationwide get a subsidized premium. It's higher in Florida, though. 93% of people enrolling so far in the second open enrollment period have gotten government subsidized insurance rates. Only Mississippi has a higher state average. But Mississippi also has just a fraction of the people signing up compared to Florida. Mississippi has fewer than 100,000 thus far. In Florida, it's approaching 1.5 million. Alberto was sitting next to his mom, who is signing up for health care through the Affordable Care Act for the first time.
Yeah, all the people that go to the laundry, they say that it's really good.
So the people in the laundry were endorsing it. His mom had health insurance through her job in retail last year, but she says it was expensive and didn't provide much coverage. So she's looking for new options.
¿Cuál fue, cómo tú comparas el del año pasado y
imagínate que yo pagaba por ti $1,400 en el mes.
Oh, yeah. She says she was paying for the last insurance that we used to have, like $1,400 a month, just for one insurance, so...
And you think you'll be able to find something less expensive now?
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah, I think she will. Well, the ones that I have last year compared to that one, I didn't know. Now I know. Yeah, she said she was working a lot of overtime to pay the insurance. So. But yeah, it's going to be no like that. That's for sure. I was paying like 100.
No, era un seguro grande. Tenía que pagar copayment en todo lugar.
¿Cuánto te cubría?
Como unos 40-50%.
It was $1,400 and only cover her 40%. So you can tell. And no dentist included.
Now she may or may not find dental coverage in her price range this year. Not all the plans include it. Still to come on our program, Obamacare in South Florida, life with and without health insurance.
It makes me wonder if I'm being penalized for becoming middle class?
I basically had to take how we sometimes say we steal from one place to put in another.
This is the Sunshine Economy, Obamacare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Jersey Garcia is a single mom in Pembroke Pines. She's working full-time now at a job with health insurance benefits. She will not be returning to Obamacare this year during its open enrollment period, which ends February 15th. She was a patient, though, in Obamacare for 3 months last year, a time she fell into the donut, making too much money to qualify for a subsidy to help her out on her premium, but too much money to qualify for Medicaid.
My name is Jersey Garcia, and I live in Pembroke Pines, Florida. I knew that I had to purchase insurance beginning January, or at least had insurance beginning January 2014, and I didn't have insurance in 2013. I had lost a job, and I was doing some freelance work as well, so I did not have health insurance. And I was looking into, I signed in into the health insurance marketplace in this around December 2013, because I believe it opened around that time. And I started looking for affordable health insurance. What happened was that I completed the application process, and then they were able to tell me what they could offer or what was available for me. And what I found interesting was that I wasn't making enough, or at least my income wasn't enough for me to qualify for subsidies to support or to help me pay for my insurance. And I was making too much money for me to fall under Medicaid in Florida. So I was in like that gap where I couldn't get subsidies and I could not apply for Medicaid. So I had to apply for health insurance and pay basically what I did was like I compared a few. And to tell the truth, I just had to pick the cheapest one, just so I can get insurance, because I didn't even compare what it offered or what it covered. I just wanted to make sure that I had insurance in 2014. So I just picked the cheapest one, and that was a monthly rate of $165 a month, and that was still too much for me. But again, I was too afraid to go without health insurance for 2014, so that's what I took. I basically had to take how we sometimes say we steal from one place to put in another. Basically, I had to cut on some of my food expenditures. I'm a single mom, and I'm raising two kids on my own. So there was just things that I had to just cut on a monthly basis to be able to afford that extra $165 that I didn't have before. I already was paying for daycare, rent or home, and food. So I had to cut a little bit from my food. What I do is like I usually buy a box of maybe a box or 2 boxes of Sunkist, the juice. Because it's easier, it's I can just hand it to them as a little bag, and they can drink from it. I was only buying like a box a week. I was the milk, which usually tends to be a gallon of milk, used to be more expensive. I was trying to just do 1 gallon a week, which meant that I was giving my daughter only milk once a day. She usually likes to have it twice a day, so I was rationing that. So those were just some of the things that I was doing to try to make up for the extra $165 that I had to come up with. At the beginning, I tried probably the second month of paying for the insurance, I tried to do a physical. But what happened was that I had to go in and find a doctor that was in the insurance plan and that was able to cover or that was in the network. And what happened is that that individual or the ones that were closer to my home didn't have appointments available. So I had a long wait to be able to see that provider. They were giving me like 2 to 3 weeks, and that was just a physical. I wasn't going for any extra. I was hoping there was any, that if I went to the doctor, there wasn't just blood work and maybe, and that would be covered hopefully by the insurance. But I never went because it was just taking too long to be able to get a provider. I was on the insurance and paid for insurance for 3 months because afterwards I was employed. I went and I had to find employment. And through my employment, I now have insurance. It gave me peace of mind. I did not have to be scared. I had to cut some ends and move the money around and maybe take some money out of my food budget and gas budget. But at least I was able to leave the house in the morning and not be afraid that if I got into an accident, I didn't have health insurance and I was going to have to be in more debt than I was already. Because of an emergency. So at least my stress level was reduced a little bit, and I felt more comfortable, more secure. And I think that peace of mind was all worth the $165 a month.
Jersey Garcia, a former Obamacare patient. Now, Kwame Livingston does not have insurance right now, but he will, he says, before the end of Obamacare's open enrollment period. He's 34 years old. He wanted health insurance last year through Obamacare, but he didn't get it. This year, he will, even though he's one of the very few Floridians who make too much money, who will sign up for Obamacare and will not get a subsidized insurance premium.
A year and a half ago, honestly, it was a mess. I tried to sign up. I was blocked from the website. As a developer, I understood the growing pains. So now it's easy. Doesn't help me because, you know, I don't qualify, but at least I got to the part where it told me I don't, and that was good enough. and now I'm talking to providers, and the dialogue is there, and they're understanding, and they have new plans out because they're very aware that you must have, or you'll be fined dearly. I ended up forfeiting having insurance. I could call myself a little wild sometimes. I was healthier. Honestly, I would have a situation where normally I'd run to the doctor about that. I definitely had to think about this time. That's not cool and that's not safe. You know, eventually went in and everything's fine. But I like the idea of being able to go in and say, hey, you know, what's wrong? You know, or if something's wrong, you know, I don't want to have to make the decision of not extending my life because of money. It was tough because I'm the only one here in my family. Everybody else is in Jamaica. And I really thought that I had to have coverage. And I was scared, honestly, of not having. So it's been a rough 12 months just being afraid of being sick and knowing like what healthcare costs can be without. Frankly, it was a bad decision. I just wasn't able to sign up, and I couldn't get anybody on the phone, and like I couldn't just go online and just go to a provider's website and buy coverage. That was not an option. Right until November, that was not an option. They just wouldn't allow it. They said it's open enrollment. So I got an alert saying open enrollment starts, which is great, in my email. Went through the process. They said, no, you make too much. And then I was still able, now I'm able to go to the insurance company's websites and say, I don't qualify. What are my options? They're expensive, but at least they exist. I can handle that. After healthcare.gov says, don't come here, you don't qualify, I opened a browser window and I may have spent a cool 7 hours, honestly, with tabs open from every single insurance provider and brokerage and in the country. Trying to compare options that made sense for actual insurance. Seriously. So I went through, you know, I won't use names, but I went through all of the providers. I went through all of the brokers. Based on, I guess, marital status and income, I don't qualify for subsidies, but a lot of people do now. So my insurance is on average, it's going to be about $320 to $350. Unless I get this kind of padded insurance that they are trying to push where it's $100, but it's kind of useless, you know, catastrophic or something like that. And so I appreciate it, but I will have to spend $350 a month or get fined. You know, going through all these tabs and these options and these features, it makes me wonder if I'm being penalized for becoming middle class, because I'm paying a lot of money. I will be paying a lot of money, and I have to do it. Like, it's not an option in my mind. Like, I must have insurance, and so I'm going to be paying $350. I consider it a necessity. I think you should always have a regular checkup. I think if something hurts, you should find out what's going on. And so I'll go back to feeling normal again.
Web developer Kwame Livingston lives in Brickell, one of the new 1.3 million Floridians signing up for health insurance through the marketplace run by the federal government. Still to come on our program, choosing not to have health insurance.
They shouldn't force me to apply for health insurance because I'm American. I should be able to make my own decisions. I shouldn't be told I have to do something.
This is the Sunshine Economy, Obamacare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Not everyone wants health insurance, and the threat of the tax penalty is not enough to get coverage. Health News Florida's Carol Gentry introduces us now to Gary Babcock. He's one of those who doesn't want insurance and isn't going to sign up. He's a maintenance worker in Clearwater.
At 55, he has diabetes so severe he has to give himself daily insulin shots. He discovered the diabetes last April when he pricked his finger with a thorn from a palm tree.
First 3 days, it was fine. And then the fourth day, it started to turn red and get infected. And this finger here blew up the size of a cucumber.
Babcock spent 7 days at St. Anthony's Hospital in St. Petersburg, including 4 in intensive care. The bill must have been huge.
I'd never really seen the bill. I don't know. They never gave me a bill.
St. Anthony's referred Babcock to the St. Petersburg Free Clinic, which treated 6,000 patients last year. It has a full-time nurse practitioner and volunteer doctors. Babcock loves the free clinic. So he's not signing up for health insurance, even though with his income, he qualifies for a choice of plans with no premium. By not enrolling, he'll face a $200 penalty if the IRS catches up with him.
They shouldn't force me to apply for health insurance.
Okay, why is that?
Because I'm American. I should be able to make my own decisions. I shouldn't be told I have to do something.
But then that leaves other people paying for your hospital bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay?
Well, no one, everything is a donation, and it's people that are helping other people.
Susan Easter is the health center director. She says the clinic helps adults who are above the official poverty level but still struggling.
After the exchange, yes. But, if there's someone who's saying we can't afford that and we feel that they're still low enough income, we'll see them here.
Easter says some free clinic patients who signed up for Obamacare found they couldn't afford copays.
We've seen some of those individuals migrate back to the clinic now.
Allison King owns a small pool cleaning business in Brandon and spends most of her days working out of her truck. She says she can't afford health insurance.
Well, I receive health care through the Brandon Outreach Clinic, which I believe it's all doctor donated, like they donate their time and driven on contributions.
King has high blood pressure and severe sleep apnea. Brandon Outreach Clinic gave King a breathing mask and oxygen concentrator, thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and a doctor sees her every 3 months. She says the clinic won't pay her hospital bill if she ends up there, but she says she's not too worried. Federal law requires hospitals to treat all emergencies.
They wouldn't refuse you care if you were, if you're having a heart attack, they're going to take you in, and then you just got to work out $10 a month. I mean, I don't know, $20 a month, something like that.
She could enroll in a plan with no premium through healthcare.gov, but she'd rather stick with the outreach clinic. As for the penalty?
I'm in denial. That's my survival mechanism.
Hospitals don't have that luxury, says Linda Quick, president of the South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association.
It's not donated. Someone is paying for it.
We're all paying for it, she says. For Health News Florida, this is Carol Gentry in St. Petersburg.
Where people live who are signing up for Obamacare is one way to get a sense of its support, especially since it's been such a highly politically charged issue. The Health and Human Services Department looks at signups by zip codes. In Florida, the top 38 zip codes for enrollees through the middle of last month, right here in South Florida. From Little Havana to Fort Lauderdale to Pompano Beach, more than 265,000 people signing up for coverage in those zip codes alone. And the place where Obamacare is seeing the biggest uptake in just the sheer number of people enrolling, that's in Hialeah. So we went on a drive on West 49th Street there with WLRN's Latin America editor Tim Padgett to hear why Hialeah is home to so many Obamacare signups.
Well, I think two factors. One, this is very much a working class area, not just working class, but immigrant working class. A lot of Cubans who have just recently arrived. And number two, healthcare in the Hispanic community is a very important issue right now, along with education and immigration. And I think those two factors combined have really been an impetus for people to have their antennae out for Obamacare, perhaps more than other communities would at this time.
And it's a community that had been having its trouble with the administration, certainly regarding the immigration issue and reform that the president promised in his first term and, of course, didn't deliver on. And there was some initial, you know, resistance to health care, but that seems to have dropped off as year two is underway.
Yeah, the relations between President Obama and the Hispanic community have been tepid at best. There's a lot of impatience in the Latino community with regard to his decisiveness on immigration. But you have to remember, though, is that the immigration issue really isn't that important in the Cuban community.
Because of the special privileges
that the Cuban migrants have in that regard. And so there's not a lot of distrust built up between the Cubans and President Obama over immigration.
How important is a place like Hialeah to the supporters of the Affordable Care Act as, you know, they look toward this healthcare reform to try to impact health costs? And you see 12,000 people in one Hialeah zip code that we're driving in have signed up for it. I mean, it's the highest in the state of Florida.
It's very important because Obamacare needs that pool of young applicants to make it a success, and there is no other community than the Hispanic community in the United States where you find such a young demographic. I mean, when we were talking to Obamacare applicants the other day, you know, I think we saw that, you know, many young couples, and that's especially true in Hialeah these days when you're seeing a lot of young Cuban immigrants coming into the community, and they're the kind of kind of demographic that Obamacare is looking for.
When you look at where the Affordable Care Act patients are coming from, and you see them in places like Little Havana and places like Hialeah and some neighborhoods in Fort Lauderdale with the populations that they serve and are home to, it also speaks really to that small business nature of the South Florida economy. These aren't the neighborhoods where the big companies necessarily draw their workforce from. You get health care through your employer, working for a company that's got 50 employees or more that would have the care. Instead, these are, you know, day laborers. These are folks that work for small companies or maybe entrepreneurs themselves.
Yeah, these are people often who are still trying to master English, let alone get a business degree or something of that nature. And so, yes, Obamacare and, you know, the affordability that they see in it is very important because without it, as you said, they don't have recourse to corporate health care or employer-provided health care. And so if you're, you know, a cook's assistant, you know, just arrived a year or so ago from Cuba, yes, this sort of thing matters.
Take us back to the debate. You know, when the Affordable Care Act was still being debated, and even after the president signed it, a lot of skepticism, not a lot of interest in the Hispanic community regarding it, and a lot of resistance to it. some degree, that's dropped off here as we're entering the second year for it. Why do you think that is?
Well, you have to understand that in the Hispanic community in general, there is wariness, if not outright distrust, of the federal government because of immigration, especially in communities like the Mexican and Central American communities, where there is a constant concern about whether or not the federal government is going to be coming after a family member or a friend who is an undocumented immigrant. So there is that divide that the Obama administration needed to fill, not just between the federal government and Hispanics on health care, but just between the federal government and Hispanics in general.
The relationship in general of the two.
And that's why it was so incumbent upon the Obama administration to make an effective Spanish language outreach on Obamacare at the outset. And they weren't very successful at that at the beginning. And I think this is showing that they have been getting their act together in terms of their Hispanic and Spanish language outreach in the past year or so.
What does it tell us also about the politics of this place in terms of the delegation that's involved not only in Washington but also Tallahassee when it comes to healthcare policy? When you see communities like this in Hialeah uptake the Affordable Care Act and the numbers that they have?
Well, there's this impression that because the South Florida Cuban American congressional delegation and President Obama are so much at odds over Cuba policy that they're at odds over everything else, which is really not true. If you look at the Republicans, for example, who probably are on the same page with President Obama on immigration policy, it would be congresspersons like Ileana Ross Layton and right here out of Miami, other Cuban Americans like Mario Diaz-Balart, etc. And that extends to healthcare. I think the South Florida congressional delegation realizes how important healthcare is to the Latino community. And again, I think that's another area where they seem to be on the same page with President Obama.
Got an ambulance behind us.
WLRN America's editor Tim Padgett driving with us through a few of Hialeah's zip codes that are home to the highest number of Obamacare applicants in Florida. Still to come, how are the prices and the conversations around healthcare changing? We're back on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN, talking about Obamacare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Among the goals of the Affordable Care Act is baked into its name, affordable, to help reduce the rate of increase of health insurance and health care. Now, the health care plans offered in Florida under Obamacare this year are more expensive on average than a year ago, but only by 7%. While averages in health insurance costs are not very illustrative, though, for individuals, because there's so many factors like age, smoking, other considerations that go into the price. That go into that individual price. Now, the individual average silver plan in Florida, $369 per month, just over $1,100 per month for a family. Daniel Chang covers healthcare for our partner, the Miami Herald.
The experience this year will help the insurers calculate their rates for next year. And if you have more healthier young people this year than you did the previous year, or at least a larger ratio of them, it would stand to reason that would help lower the prices perhaps next year in 2016.
What kind of plans are Floridians gravitating toward? What are the plan features and the plan expenses that they're seeing?
Well, the most popular tier of plan tends to be the Silver plan, which covers 70% of your healthcare costs, but it's also the only type of plan that you can buy that will also come with a second subsidy, which helps you to pay your out-of-pocket costs. So there's two subsidies in effect that you could qualify for. One of them is the monthly premium subsidy, and the other one is the out-of-pocket, helps you pay your deductible, your copay, and those other shares of costs. Now, I have spoken with some navigators who've told me that in Miami-Dade specifically, the most common type of plan tends to be one that won't cost the consumer more than $50 or saving $100 a month out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And those plans tend to have a more narrow network. For instance, they might only have one hospital in their network. They might not have as many doctors, perhaps, or even specialists, although there are federal requirements for the numbers of providers that you have in those networks.
You know, the intent of the Affordable Care Act was to bend that cost curve. And, of course, the jury's still out. We're only at the beginning of year two of this. But what about those folks that are looking for health care that have found themselves either in the gap, so they don't qualify for the subsidies, they are the 7% of Floridians that are ineligible for the subsidies because they earn too much money, or perhaps they go in and they don't earn enough money at all to get an Affordable Care Act and wind up being eligible for other health care programs?
Well, Tom, those folks right now are in the same position they were in last year, which is they don't really have any recourse aside from the safety net system, charity care at nonprofit hospitals, perhaps. As you know, Florida's legislature will begin meeting in March, and the incoming Speaker of the House, Chris Afuoli, said that he's not going to consider Medicaid expansion, although he did leave the door slightly open, saying that he is a never-say-never kind of guy. There are an estimated 800,000 or so Floridians who fall into that gap. In Miami-Dade, there's about 160,000, 170,000 folks who are uninsured, and like you said, they earn too much for Medicaid, and they don't earn enough to qualify for a subsidy. And Medicaid expansion, as originally envisioned in the Affordable Care Act, is going to be the best way to provide them care.
As you've covered healthcare in the last, say, 18 months or so, as the Affordable Care Act year one was getting ramped up, and here we are on the edge of year two, how do you think the Affordable Care Act has impacted the private insurance market, the insurance market that's outside Obamacare?
People are more aware of what their deductibles are, of what the copays are, of you know, the co-insurance rate that they may have. And certainly now, as tax season is rolling around, they're going to become very aware of any fines or penalties that they may have to pay for not having had health insurance.
Daniel Chang with the Miami Herald. The vision of how Obamacare could change health care and health care costs may still be cloudy, but it has focused the debate. Wanda Miles is our technical director. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes.